Why are you here? What brought you to this place? How did you come to this moment in time? In all of time, we fall on the continuum that has always been and always will be. Continuum is all of human history. All of time, from future to past, is encompassed in it. It is something that keeps on going. Before you existed, there was. When you leave this earth, there will be. What will your life mean? In all of human existence, you matter. You can make a difference. You are more than just a speck in the sky. Your life is the only one you have. So how will you live it? God created the continuum and is working in it and through it. The continuum changes slowly over time. We have been placed on the continuum not by choice, but by providence. What if we were living on a continuum that could alter the lives of those to come forever? God can work in us and through us as we are on the continuum. We have a choice to make, a claim to a future. Choose to make your time on the continuum matter. Claim your future. Choose to enter fully into the continuum.
Thomas, I'm not going to dance. God is. God has been, and God will always be. God is our creator. God is our sustainer. God created the heavens and the earth. God created animals and grass and plants. God put everything so perfectly into place that night knew when to be night and day knew when to be day. God created humans, you and me. God created out of the dust the first man. And God breathed his own spirit. And then God looked at the man and said, "It is not right for man to be alone." And God created Eve, a companion, a helper, somebody to stand by his side. You see, from the beginning of time, God created this continuum and everything that is in it. But God knew from the beginning of time that we would be better together. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you in this moment. We praise you that your spirit that hovered over the waters is the same spirit that breathed life into us, and it's the same spirit that is right here in this very room. God, I pray that everything, every word, every thought that I have prepared up until this point would be something that could be seen as just an offering up to you. That God, whatever it is that your people need to hear today, that it would be a word of encouragement, of challenge, Lord, of inspiration. God, we praise you because we know that you are already at work in this world, and all we long to do is to be a part of it. We praise you for your Son, we praise you for your Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Well, for those of y'all who don't know me too well, my name is Ani Barrington. I am the Associate Director and Youth Worship Pastor. It is, I live the dream on a daily basis. It is amazing. If you had told me when I was younger that this is what I would be doing, I would have thought you were crazy. One, because I was clearly destined to be a Broadway star, right? Right? Y'all have heard me sing. I mean, come on. Just kidding. Humility. Jesus. I never thought I would be here. And yet, here I am. God has placed me in my continuum right here in this very spot. I'm married to an incredible man. His name is Austin. He's sitting right here in the front row. You probably didn't want me to even draw your attention to him, so nobody look. Nobody look. He's not there, guys. We've been married for 6.5 years. We don't have any kids, and we don't have any pets, and we actually kind of like it that way. We're good. We're good for right now. Whatever the Spirit leads for that to change, we will totally be okay with that, but for now, we're very happy. We love to travel. We love to eat lots of food. We usually travel so that we can eat lots of food, and it just kind of goes in this cyclical fashion, and we just love our lives. My whole family and I are from San Antonio, Texas, originally. We were born and raised, and that means that I ate a lot of Tex-Mex food. Every Sunday after church, my stomach wants a bean and cheese taco. That's all it wants. It's been part of who I am. It also means that if you catch me on a good day, I will probably be able to speak Spanish. If you catch me on a bad day, I can do like Spanglish, and that's as good as it gets. I am so happy to be a part of the family that I'm a part of. I'm the third child. This is very important for you to know. I'm the third child in my family. I'm the baby. Any babies out there? Little ones? Yes, they're the best. I love being a baby. I love it so much. There's also something that you should know. My parents were only planning to have two children. So I was in every sense of the word a surprise. But my parents handled it really well. They knew that if that's what God wanted, then so be it. And my siblings actually handled it really well. For, 2.5 years, my brother and my sister had this bond that was unbreakable, and they let me into it. And I was really grateful for that. So for summer after summer, both of my parents worked, and my brother, because he was 8 years older than me and just 5-ish years older than my sister, would take care of us in the summer times, and we would just entertain ourselves. Students, if you're in the room, you know what I mean. You just make games up and go play outside and eat really bad food, and that's exactly what we did every day. My brother was a skateboarder, so we thought we were super cool. We would go to the park with my brother and watch his friends skateboard, and sometimes we'd even like take pictures. This was pre-Instagram, so we would take pictures on a physical camera that clicked, and then we had to rewind. It was incredible. We listened to music all the time. We definitely, like I said, made up our own games. My brother would wrap my sister and I in blankets and then pull us, because we had hardwood floors, and see who could go around the fastest. He was the one working the whole time, so I think he got the short end of the stick on that game. I made grilled cheese sandwiches every day. If it wasn't grilled cheese, maybe it was bagel bites, right? If it wasn't bagel bites, it was homemade smoothies. And those are still, to this day, pretty much the only things that I know how to make. I am not a cook. That is all Austin. So we let him handle the food. But it was just incredible. I remember just cherishing these moments and these memories with my brother and sister. And there was one summer in particular that there was this incredible event happening called the 1996 Summer Olympics. Does anybody remember this? Oh, it was awesome. Okay, so the women's gymnastics team was the best, right? They just, every single competition that they jumped into, they just nailed it. And there was one girl in particular, her name was Carrie Strong. You may remember Carrie Strong. Look at that face. She's just a darling. Gosh, Carrie. But she had this really crazy moment where she was going up for the vault, and she runs to do her vault. She jumps off of the bouncy thing that I don't know the name of. She flips over, and she misses just by a little bit. And you can feel her falter, and she immediately, like, you can sense that she's hurt. And you're like, oh, no, this could be, oh, no, she might have just lost her chance. But instead, she limps off, and she starts to walk around. And she's got this look of determination, like she just knows she's got to do it. And she runs as fast as she can. She jumps off the jumpy thing. She flips around. She makes her landing perfectly. And she's like, and then falls apart on the ground. And it turns out that she had a sprained ankle. I mean, y'all, if you were watching this, you understand. This is one of the most incredible sports moments that I've ever witnessed, certainly. And I had that inspiration in my heart one day as I was home alone with my sister and my brother. I was just so inspired. You know, those moments where you just feel like, yeah, I want to feel that in my heart. So we had these large oversized couches with big cushions. I feel like you know where this is going. And I was standing on the ledge of the couch, just the arm of the couch. And I see my sister next to me, and she says, "What are you doing?" "I think I'm going to do a front flip. I just feel like I can do it." And she says, "Why?" I saw Carrie. She was amazing. She could do it. And she did it with a sprained ankle. I'm pretty sure I can handle this. And she says, "I don't know if this is a good idea." And I said, "Sister, I know you're 2.5 years older than me, though you're still a foot shorter than me. I know what I'm talking about here. It's just a front flip. And look, the couch cushions are so fluffy that if I fall, it'll be fine." And she says, "Well, do you want me to help you?" I said, "No, I don't need a spotter. What do you, like, Carrie Strong didn't have a spotter. Come on, sister. And so I'm standing there, and I can feel this like adrenaline rushing up, and I'm like, I can totally make this. It's just a front flip. I just got to get the right catapultion going, and I just could feel this excitement in my heart. And so I buckle my knees, and I start to just shake it out, and I jump forward, and I leap, and I don't quite make it, so I knock the wind out of myself, and the first words I say to my sister are, I can't breathe. And my poor sister, of course, runs, grabs the phone, calls mom. She says, Mom, I think Ani's dying. And I'm like, I'm dying. Oh my gosh. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. I just had to catch my breath, and I never tried anything like that again. I am not adventurous. You can ask just about anybody in this room who knows me well. I am not adventurous, and it is because of things like that. I just ruined it for myself. But I'm telling you, there was something inside of me that could have heard my sister's voice. I could have easily heeded a little bit of her wisdom and even just asked her to help me, right? We could have done like a slow rollover if I had really been ambitious. But there's something inside of us. It resists people helping us. You see, last week, Andrew talked about the continuum, right? This time that God has created, how he sees everything inside of it, and how we are called, like David, to come out of the field and to bring others into this calling. Now, the only part about that scares me is that I feel like Sandra Bullock in Gravity, like post Clooney dying and everybody like leaving. I'm so sorry if I just gave away the movie. It's an older movie. Y'all should see this by now. But I feel like Sandra Bullock. I feel like I'm trying so hard to make my way through space and figure out where God is calling me and trying to bring others into it, but I'm alone in this whole thing and I'm going towards this destination. And it sometimes scares me. But when we look at the story of David, and David, who is kind of just a classic Bible hero. Everybody loves David. He was the one that nobody expected for God to call out. He wasn't even worth bringing out of the field. And yet, Samuel calls on David to be anointed. When we look at the story of David, we see him. But there's a very important friendship that we're missing when we're talking about David. And that's his best friend, Jonathan. Jonathan is the son of Saul, who is the current king of Israel. So Saul was already in power over all of Israel, but God knew that he wasn't following him anymore. Saul was not following God anymore. And so God chose to appoint David, which is a story we heard last week. And David goes against Goliath, and he is successful. He wins. He is victorious. And Jonathan suddenly wants to be his friend. He suddenly feels this drawing, this connection, because he sees what is inside of David. He sees that God is calling him out in this continuum. So Jonathan is an incredible person. Jonathan is a man who follows after God. Just a few chapters before we're about to read right now, he goes and takes two people and fights against 20 men. And the whole time he's saying, God, if this is your will, I will do it. So he is a follower of God. He believes in what God is doing in this world, and he commits to being with David for life. So let's go back to 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 5. And if you have your Bibles, you have them right in front, if you did not bring your Bible with you. It's a really great text. The first thing that Jonathan is characterized by is the promise that he makes to David. I'm just going to read from 1 to 4. It says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the son of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Here's the promise. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. So from the start of their friendship, Jonathan promises that he will be by David's side. Think for a second about the friendships that you have in your life. We don't often make covenants with one another, but sometimes we sense that promise that somebody has made to you, that they're going to have your back. The second thing that Jonathan does with David is he provides for David. It says just that verse after, in verse 4, it says, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt." Look, Jonathan was the son of a king. David was a shepherd. Jonathan had a lot more to offer in terms of physical things that he could give to David to equip David to be a better, stronger warrior, to equip David just to be a better person. And in this case, it's more than just the stuff that he's giving. It's this symbolic, "I've got your back. I will provide whatever you need." And finally, Jonathan promises to protect David. Soon after all of the turmoil happens with Saul, Saul becomes very jealous of David. He's in a position now where David is getting a lot of credibility for things that he once got credit for. And so Saul gets so jealous that he attempts to kill David several times. But Jonathan, Saul's own son, does everything that he can to protect David. In fact, multiple times he goes to Saul and he tells him, "Dad, he hasn't done anything wrong." He tries to reason with him, "Dad, this is a bad decision. This is the king of Israel." But Saul can't handle it. And we finally come to a point in this text right here where David says, "Dude, I don't know what's going on. Your dad keeps trying to kill me." And he says, "I won't let it happen." In verse 4, he says, "Whatever you say, I will do it for you." You see, I relate a lot to David in this story. I got my call to ministry at 14 years old. My dreams of Broadway were shattered in moments when I realized, you mean ministry like in the backstage, right, when I'm dancing, God? No, he means what I'm doing now. And I'm happy now, but at 14 years old, when God gave me that call to ministry, I was overwhelmed, I was scared, and I felt very lonely. And I remember my sister was the first person in the room. We shared a room. Gosh, I don't even know how we survived each other. We shared a room for 16 years. And so when I was 14, I just heard the voice of God saying, "Minister in ministry." And immediately I thought my sister was playing a joke on me, because obviously that's just like a funny joke. But I said to my sister Carissa, I said, "Cari, that's not funny. What you're doing right now is not funny." And she said, "I don't know what you're talking about. You're kind of scaring me." And she said, "But I'm going to pray for you." Because she could sense that there was something inside of me that was being stirred up, that God was trying to bring me a vision of what my life was going to be like, and yet it was so scary and so overwhelming. And she interceded for me in that moment and said that she would pray for me. And from that moment on, she promised me that she would be by my side to help me work all of this out. And I needed it. For 3-4 months after that, I could not confront this idea. I could not accept this idea that God wanted me to be in full-time ministry. But she helped me work it out. My sister, like Jonathan for David, provided for me too. She was an incredible example of just loving God and of loving other people. She did everything in her power to make her relationship with God her number one priority. She even let me hang out with her friends, which honestly, like, I was kind of annoying. I don't know why she let me, but we all had the same interests. We would go to shows together and we would just hang out. And whenever we would go to parties and stuff like that, she would have her friends who are older siblings letting their younger friends drink alcohol. And she just told me one day, "I'm not going to do that, one. And I would never want you to participate in something like that, too." It's like she knew that the legacy that she was leaving behind needed to be something deeper, something stronger than just having a drink with my sister. My sister provided for me, and my sister protected me. In the moments that I was so tempted to go off the path that I knew that God had led for me, and I know that there is so much within that that he had built in for me to just be living out entirely into who I was, when I wanted to step out of that, my sister was the one to remind me of my calling. She was the one to protect me. You see, Jonathans in our lives are important because we're better together. I can try to do everything on my own, and at the end of the day, we're better together. As much as I heeded my sister's advice, as much as I tried everything that I could to be connected with her, I also struggled at times. I didn't always want to let her in. There was this resistance inside of me, so similar to the resistance that I felt when I didn't want to listen to her voice. I just wanted to jump over and do a front flip. There were many times in my life where I didn't want to hear her voice. And I remember when I first started working here at Highland Park UMC, and I had just left a really incredible job and was leading worship full time, and I came here, and after about a month of being here, I struggled. This community is tough. This community puts a lot of pressure on you. This community is amazing, but they expect so much. And I didn't talk to anybody about it. I held all of it inside. I didn't really talk to my husband about it. He was stressed out with what was going on in teaching, and I certainly didn't talk to my sister about it because she was discerning her own call to ministry. And so I held back. I had that resistance of wanting to ask for help. I didn't want to let my Jonathan in. And one night, as I was trying to lay down to sleep, all these things were spinning through my head, and I just had the stress of life on my shoulders. And as soon as I started to fall asleep, I could feel my breath getting quicker, and I started to hyperventilate. And I was like, this ain't my thing. I don't really get anxiety. What is happening right now? And my husband calmed me down, and he said, I think you need to talk to someone. And he was right. I should have talked to my Jonathan. I had somebody there who had promised to be by my side, who had provided for me for so long, and who had protected me. And I shut Jonathan, my sister, out. I think we all struggle with this for a lot of different reasons, but I think in particular, there are two lies that we have to fight against every single day. And the first one is that I can do it on my own. I don't need anybody. I got this, right? How many times have you heard that come out of your own mouth? I mean, y'all, this goes to small things and big things. I went and grabbed a basketball, like a removable basketball court the other day, and I tried to squeeze it into the back of Worm's car by myself. And if y'all had seen the anguish in my face, if you had seen all the thoughts running through my head of why didn't I just ask Worm to help me, that would have been so much easier. There are so many instances where we say, I can do this on my own. The same way that I thought I could process all the pressure, all the fear, all the anxiety that I was having about working in this new place, I thought I could do it on my own. And the second part of that lie is that no one needs to know, right? Everybody's got their own stuff going on. I don't want to impose. You're busy. You have your own life. You have your own family. Don't let me, I don't want to overshadow. You know, I don't want to bum you out. Like, it's just not that big of a deal. But I'm telling you right now that God gave us each other. God knew from the start that we, a community, Jonathan's, that we're better together. We're not Sandra Bullock alone in a spaceship. We have each other. But I just wonder how much of that is hard for us to process because it's been like, we're hardwired to think the other way. We're hardwired to live into the lies. But I'll tell you what, the second I started claiming the Jonathan in my life, the second I started realizing that I was better with other people, it changed the whole outlook and perspective of the way that I lived. In my marriage, you know, when I was 14 years old and I got this call to ministry, I just assumed that I was going to be by myself because who would want to marry a pastor, right? Like, you're talking commitment. Like, that is a whole nother level. And I just assumed at this point that I was going to be alone, and I was okay with that. I was good with that. And then at 20, this guy comes into my life and changes the whole thing. And to this day, I keep thinking, wow, my life would be much different if I didn't have this partner by my side. And that's because we're better together. When I look at the friends in my life, and I see that when they ask me how I'm doing, they're not just asking me how I'm doing. They want to know how my soul is, how my spirit is, where I'm at mentally, spiritually, physically, all of it. They want to know. And I have a choice to let them in or to not let them in. Just last week, I survived one of the hardest weeks of my life. We went on our summer mission trip with the youth group, and it was the most rewarding and the most difficult thing that I've ever done. Matt Tuggle is a saint, y'all. I don't know how he does it. And yet, I had friends who were praying for me back home. I had mentors in my life that were sending me scripture every day, being Jonathan to me. I had people that were on site with me, brothers and sisters in Christ that are also known as my co-workers. And they were helping me work these things out. They did everything that they could to help me see that we were better together, that I could not do anything on my own. You see, when we claim this lifestyle, it changes everything about how we live. It can completely transform how we as a community live. So who is your Jonathan? Who are the people that have made promises to you? Who are the people that have chosen to provide for you? Who are the people that are protecting you on a daily basis? If you don't have a Jonathan, that's okay. God provides. And I truly believe that we as your staff, as people who love God and recognize that we are better together, that you can come and talk with us and we can do everything that we can to set you up with a mentor, to set you up with a Jonathan, because it is that important. And the best thing about having an incredible Jonathan in my life is that now I'm able to be a Jonathan to others. Everything that my sister taught me up until this point are things that I get to utilize on a daily basis with youth, with friends. And that's why we do what we do. I know that I'm not the only one that feels like I'm on the ledge there, trying to jump over and wishing that somebody would either tell me not to or that they would help. I imagine that when we're thinking about where we fall on this continuum, that you want help too. And I'm here to tell you that's okay, because we really are better together. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we thank you so much for the promise, God, that you have given us, that you provide, that you equip, Lord, that you give us everything that we need. And in this time, God, I pray for every single person out there, Lord, that desires to have a Jonathan in their life, desires to have a friend that will care for them, that will protect them, that will provide for them, Lord. And we just ask for those that do not have that kind of friendship in their life, Lord, that you would bring that together, that you would help each and every one of us to recognize just how good we are when we work together. Help us every day to fight the lie that we can do this on our own and that nobody needs to know. We love you so much, Father. We thank you for this time that you have provided for us to step away from our day-to-day lives and to just be in your glory. Father, we praise you. We love you. We thank you so much for the sacrifice of your Son and for your Holy Spirit. Amen.